tell me when you'd like to begin and I'll do the
formalities. Do the formalities. So if you just open the meeting for us, Rod, in your inimical style.
I shall. Good evening, everybody, to this, I think, 315th Annual General Meeting of the Cottagers Coalition. Look, we're having a bit of technical problem at my end because I'm in Yarra. And clearly, these sort of events don't translate well. But I'd like to begin by acknowledging that wherever we are, we meet on the traditional lands of the owners of this country, and we pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Now, housekeeping. The toilets, I'm not sure where your toilet is, but my toilet's out there, and then you turn right, and then you go right down to the back of the house, and that's where the toilet is. I hope you know where yours are so that there are no problems. Now, we've got a little less time than we thought we would, but I'm sure we can run the meeting for as long as it needs to go. So we'd like to welcome our guests this evening. We have Nick Stavrou from Stubley Ward. We have Clifford Hayes, MLC for the Southern Region, and my old friend, the Honourable Kelvin Thompson, Convener Planning Democracy, which is an umbrella community and resident action group organisation, which is doing really fantastic work. So because this is difficult for me to do the way I'm doing it, I'm just going to hand you over to the inimitable Brian Walsh, who will... hello, there's Leon's arrived. Hi, Leon. Welcome to Leon. We'll begin with Brian, and I'll try and sort this out as we go.
Thank you.
Carry on, everybody.
Thank you, Rod. And at a quick trot, I hope we can go through the formalities. We've got an AGM, which should only go hopefully for about 5 minutes, and then the formal meeting. The theme of tonight is heritage protection on trial and whether Parliament can actually do anything for us on it. And hopefully you can see
next
screens of Max Jackson in front of the ruined cottages. Does everyone see that one all right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what we're trying to stop happening ever again. So tonight we've got the AGM. I'm the president. God help me, but I wish someone else would come along and help. Any more people who want to join?
I'll do it.
All right. Welcome to the committee, Rob. Welcome to the committee.
I'll be a president like Putin.
No, we don't. Oh, dear. No, I think it's getting a bit close for comfort with that one. We've got the minutes, and the minutes are online. I won't bother reading them now because the whole audio of last meeting is also online. You can listen to that at your leisure, I'm sure, if the online connections are working. We had a series of resolutions came out of this situation last year. We called on Jacinta Allen to actually commit to getting herself and her department heads before the Legislative Council inquiry. We wrote to her about that. We had a resolution to also get the Minister for Planning before the Upper House inquiry. We wrote to him about that. And we had a resolution to make a submission to the National Disability Royal Commission. There'll be some questions, I expect, tonight about that. So those were the matters arising. There'll be more on that this evening. David Pym has asked me to make a very quick financial statement Treasurer's report on his behalf to save time. We see we do need some more donations. We're into donations. You'll be pleased to know that Mr. Lang Walker made another $50,000 donation, but that was to the South Australian party, I think, that was probably going to help him with his South Australian work. But once it goes into the system, you never know where the money's going to come out. But I don't think we've got any from him. So if you've got any more gold coins or 20-cent pieces, then We'll show you where to send them. That's the automatic way of sending us, and we'll leave that online later on to give us a small donation to at least cover the cost of the post office box, which is our perennial problem. So the report from the president. We called on the minister for priority precincts, and we got nothing. We didn't even get an acknowledgement. We've got some other people, I think, trying to get in here. So I'll just see if I've got any more people queued up to let in. You can't see them, can you, Rod? I think, is that right?
Cool. I don't think I can allow people in.
No, I'll just see if there's anyone else I can actually click on. Some people have texting me.
So pause for a minute, Brian, and let them in.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find them, Lindsay. I don't think they've got through.
They're at the Birdman rally, I think.
Roomba!
No, I can't see them in the queue. No, they presumably haven't got the link.
Just let them all in.
Yeah, I have. I did that. That's what it said, and it obviously hasn't picked up some people. Yeah, we got over a dozen in there. Anne can't get in, she said.
Tell Anne to call me and I'll put her on speaker.
Yeah.
Just as well we don't have fibre right through to every house. Heaven knows what trouble would be.
Disaster. Disaster. Anyway. How are you, Mary?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, you generally seem to be. We must have afternoon tea in Parliament House again, Mary.
Yes, and that'd be lovely.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Nice. I have very fond memories.
I'll ask Andrew.
I remember the waiter was a socialist. from the inside. There we go. Right again.
Resolutions. We sent the same request through to Richard Wynne and he politely fobbed us off, and there's more details of this you can just see on our website, saying he'd wait until the submissions were called by the Heritage Inquiry and then they'd decide what to do. So,
well, we'll have to wait and see if he's made a submission. They're releasing the submissions later this week, I think.
Oh, well, thanks. I was hoping you'd be able to bring us up to date on that Clifford, so that we didn't get sort of past first base. No. The final resolution was the submission to the Royal Commission on Disability, and that is the work in progress. We can come back to that later too. So at the end of the process of that year, you still had a situation where work was continuing in Stage 8, but according to the government website, the contract's website, the contract had actually finished. So I hope you might be able to bring us up to date with a position of the government on that one, Clifford. As far as we are aware, there is no further contracts being let, although the work's continued. This was a significant issue, you'll remember, because the Ombudsman brought it up in his inquiry and saying that this should have been addressed years ago, and it wasn't. So if the contract was finished, there were a lot of loose ends too, like this tree which was killed over 10 years ago, has still not been replaced, although it was a permit condition of that development, a heritage permit condition that the tree be replaced. So whatever the outcome of that contract was, it is quite unclear as to the terms and conditions, whether they were just terms that it was completed on. Presumably they've got another contract in place, but if so, it's not public in the way that the original one was, and it should be public. Stage 9 is in the Heritage Corps, came to public notice in September again because there was a proposal to put a two-story building on there. This is the site of one of the original cottages next to the cottages that were sold off. The site itself was sold privately, we understand, so this proposal to Heritage Victoria to build was from a private owner, but he actually used Walker's former project manager to put his application in. You can see our objection to that proposal on the website, and as of today we understand a permit has still not been issued and the proposer was asked to provide further information to Heritage Victoria. So there's a question mark about the outcome of Stage 9 too. The core issue was the fact that they wanted to build on what had promised to be kept for originally community services, and they were never delivered. That was a series of broken promises. So one promise after another was broken, and we still don't have an answer from government about why and on what grounds that was happened the way those promises were broken. So in short, as we understand it, and we're relying on Clifford to bring us up to date on this, the heritage inquiry does continue, but as of just a few weeks ago, we're told they won't even be having public hearings, which is...
That's terrible. That's right.
And I hope you can advise us on what we should do in this situation, because it just doesn't seem satisfactory to me at all. If Parliament can do something and we can help, then good, let's do it. But I think it's going to need more than just the Kew Cottages Coalition to address this problem. Yeah. So I've proposed, and we deal with this at the end, and we can deal with overall questions at the end of the meeting tonight, that we have a series of resolutions. The first is the public meeting calls on the state government to explain what the current contract status is and what has been the financial return to the state, because every inquiry that's looked at, as has said, the government should tell publicly what the financial return is, and it's never done that. Department of Human Services maintain they wouldn't know what the financial return was until the end of the contract. Well, the contract's ended, so they do know, but they haven't told anyone. So that's the first part. Secondly, we should ask them to... Whoops, I'm jumping ahead of myself here.
Go back to number one, Brian. Yeah.
So we've got number one is to ban developer donations. We've been asking for that for years. It's happened in New South Wales and Queensland. Why isn't it happening in Victoria? And we think that the inquiry needs to be picked up and carried on next year in a proper form with proper terms and conditions and a proper...
Brian, yeah. Can I say something?
Yeah.
Clifford moved that in Parliament a while ago. I was there when he did it.
Banned
developer donations, and only four in Parliament voted with him.
Yeah.
Well, that just about says it all, doesn't it? If they can do it in New South Wales and Queensland, why can't we do it in Victoria?
Exactly. Exactly.
The developers, bribery.
It's not all that hard.
No.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And Clifford will be relying on you to say how the inquiry can best be carried forward. But one of the missing issues appeared to us that the Heritage Act itself wasn't being addressed in the current inquiry. Was that right?
The inquiry does cover the state of heritage protection in Victoria, yes.
But it specifically relates only to the Planning Act, doesn't it?
It relates to the Planning and Environment Act, which does cover our heritage provision.
They're not interested.
I'll talk about it.
Yeah. So that's why we've written this in that form anyway.
Yeah, terrific.
We put it in there.
Yeah, the heritage.
So that's what I'll be proposing. We've still got those of us who are left, the old committee continuing as the new committee, and anyone else is very welcome to join. Yeah, so you've got that honour along with everyone else, Mary. So thank you for that.
Good. Okay, I'll be there.
Worth noting that all of us are eligible for free public transport.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to ask a question, but we might, Rod, if you wanted to come in on now closing the AGM, if that's satisfactory, and people accept those reports.
Well, I'm going back to the horse and cart after this meeting. I refuse to live in a modern world. It's too stressful. Where are we? We've got to ask you now, if you have any questions related to the reports, the Treasurer's report and the President's report. And if you do have questions, you'll see down the bottom of your screen reactions. And if you click on that, you'll see thumbs up or a hand or whatever. If you click on one of those, we know you've got a question, then we'll ask you to on the President's report, if that's the case, ladies and gentlemen. And if there are no changes to the committee, so good on you, committee people, then we will officially close the AGM and we will now open our public meeting. So we have, as I said, three speakers. We've got Nick Stabry from Stubby Ward, We've got Clifford Hayes, MLC from the Southern Region, and of course the Honourable Kelvin Thompson, Convener of Planning Democracy. So, Nick, we'll turn to you for the to begin. I think, Brian, you could end your screen sharing now, and that will give our speakers a full screen access, which will make their presence a bit more immediate.
Okay, we try clicking the button, and I think that's bring people up, does it? Is that okay now?
Yes, that makes it better. And, there is a button under view at the top which lets you welcome. Thank you very, very much for being at our online meeting here. You've missed some of the best cups of tea and cake at the end of these meetings that you could possibly imagine, and we all miss those. you're going to have to be our dessert, Nick. So we'll throw the meeting open to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod, and thank you, Brian. And I'll try not to disappoint, but competing with those sweets is going to be a difficult task, but I'll try. Thank you again. It's always a pleasure to be among you. I think even by Zoom. I think, and thanks for the invitation to speak to you tonight. As a proud member of our community, I know that I'm not alone when I say our heritage buildings, landscape character are the key contributing factor in what makes Boorowa's unique and appealing place to live. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
I remind people to turn their microphones off because if your microphone...
It's always with technology, it saves us, but it sometimes gets in the way, doesn't it? It's critical, though, that we preserve the aspects of our history and character of our neighbourhood for the future generations to also enjoy. These are the things that we all hold dear. Council has a critical role to play in ensuring that this protection happens. And our recently refreshed Boorowa Community Plan, we heard from over 5,000 community members on what matters and what's most important to them. One of the key priorities that they told us was that, and I'll say this twice just that we can understand what the community is telling us, is to continue to focus on neighbourhood character and heritage protection. Okay? Neighbourhood character and heritage protection amongst the key priorities of our community in Boorowa. That's important. We have to remember this. Since 2016, the City of Boorowa has invested over $1 million in our municipal-wide heritage gap study. Through this study, which will continue and it will conclude in a few months, I'm happy to say, we will have proactively identified and protected our city's heritage. To give you some numbers, to date, more than 5,500 properties have been included in the heritage overlay across Boorowa. Of these properties, 146 are located in Kew. Another critical part of protecting Boorowa's heritage is captured in the Heritage Action Plan under the commitment to take heritage conservation into consideration when Council produces any policies and plans. This ensures that Council has careful, considered planning controls, and we have them in place to maintain and protect our heritage spaces and properties. As you'll be well aware, Council unfortunately had very little control over the redevelopment of the Willsmere Estate and the Kew Residential Services. Statutory powers that would normally be held by Council have instead been taken over by the Minister for Planning. This is old ground for us. This has led to some troubling developments that threaten to degrade the character and amenity of our community. And throughout the project, Council has publicly expressed strong objections to Heritage Victoria and DELP, the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, about the plans and the potential to overdevelop the site. And I'm getting to some of the more recent developments. That's why I'm setting a little bit of the scene of what happened in the past. We most recently...
Oh, look at the sunset.
We most recently objected in September 2021 to an application for the construction of two dwellings, 48D, in Main Drive Q. Under the plans, the development of the site would have obscured and removed views of the heritage core buildings from the main drive and adversely impact its significance. Of course, you all know how important obscuring heritage buildings is, you know. And years ago, I was there fighting alongside many of you, the high-rise units on Main Drive that were going to obscure heritage buildings. These are key things. Well, we've got some revised development plans here and they've been lodged. Council remains seriously concerned about the impact of adding additional dwellings because given the land was actually previously designated for public open space. We've seen this refrain play again over and over again. The trees on the property currently remain protected under the heritage overlay, vegetation protection overlay, with agreements in place between Walker Corporation, Development Victoria and Heritage Victoria. How many times have we heard that? This is because, though, council has no responsibility and it's not the planning authority for this land. We are, however, continuing to monitor the health of the trees and we're doing everything we can to ensure that future generations are able to enjoy them. Small parts of the landscape that we control, as the council controls, we continue to advocate for the enhancement and maintenance of public open spaces as this benefits the entire community.
And we'll also continue to
strongly advocate for the protection of Kew Residential Service heritage buildings and associated landscape. But in more recent news, we've made another submission to the Minister for Planning in October 2021 to state our strong concerns on proposed changes to planning reforms being considered by the Victorian Government. These reforms would further reduce the involvement of council and the local communities in many, many planning matters. We believe that as council, we have all the necessary resources.
Thank you. Thanks to this group for your continuing interest in protecting our heritage and our public assets out there. And I just wanted to say, thanks, Nick, for what you're saying. And it's very difficult to be a councillor these days. And I completely agree with local planning should be local because local people understand the conditions locally, and that's with heritage and the environment. So I feel that we're heading the wrong way. But anyway, I'm grateful for you all at Kew Cottages Coalition. And, you know, I say again this year, as I did last year, it's so important that residents groups like yours who continue to fight for our heritage, particularly at that site, but for heritage in general and the environment, and speak up on overdevelopment concerns. Groups like yours who are the real push for planning reform in our state, because if all of the groups that are concerned about these issues would get together and push hard on their politicians, it's the only way to get change. And you know, many people say we can't be political about this, but political pressure is the only thing that will change the way we're going. So there's residents groups all across Victoria who are really affected by our broken planning system. And you know, whether you're in a group or not, we're all affected by what's happening in planning. And as you know, I've been campaigning to and trying to protect the Kew Cottages since I was elected back in 2018 to the Upper House in Parliament. And I strongly believe and still do that the Kew Cottages site was a unique opportunity for public land to remain as public land. Urban areas are declining in tree canopy and open space, heritage, neighbourhood character. This was the perfect site to protect for future generations. So it saddens me that this government continues to undermine the site with unsympathetic housing development, and we're waiting to hear the outcome of the latest application. And I'm really concerned about the long-term effects on our local environment of the decisions that are being made, like what has been going on over a long period of time at Kew Cottages. This site continues to be under attack with planning applications that go on, and the merry-go-round of VCAT, the Planning Minister, Heritage Victoria, continuing to undermine the heritage protection there. Only late last year I was contacted by residents who were concerned about the proposal for the two-unit developments at 48D Main Drive, Main Drive Q, which they felt would undermine the heritage buildings on the site. And I raised this issue with the Minister as a constituency question in Parliament. And he replied that Heritage Victoria is currently assessing a permit application for the construction of two double-storey buildings at 48D Main Drive. In determining the permit application, the Executive Director of Heritage Victoria must consider the impact of the proposal on the cultural heritage significance of the registered place, any public submissions, and how refusal of the permit application would affect reasonable or economic use. Now, it's interesting to note that in the Minister's reply that economic use should be of consideration, but nothing about the environment. Last year, I introduced a bill into Parliament to place a higher priority on considering the environment in the state planning provisions, with an aim to strengthen the objectives to include protection of native species and the environment. It introduced the requirement for those who are applying for a development permit to include an environmental impact statement with their usual plans and what they have to put in for a planning permit, and that planning authorities must take into account the impact of any permit application on the existing environment when it came to assessing a new proposal. Unfortunately, this bill was defeated by both major parties, who misrepresented the situation under what conditions a permit is required to justify their vote. And they claimed that it was just more red tape, and if anyone wanted to put a pergola up or put some paving out in the backyard, that they would have to go to major expense in trying to get a permit. But this wasn't true. Those sort of things do not require a planning permit under the Act. It's if you're doing a development of two or more that you need a planning permit. A few other requirements on very small blocks, but it was just nonsense, really. All you had to do was make a statement and put it in there. I suppose the larger proposals would probably have to get a bit of expert help in making that statement. Anyway, the bill was supported by a vast array of evidence to support how planning permits are failing the environment. Economic factors, like I've mentioned before, are put first in decision-making, and the environment hardly gets a look in when a development is considered. You know, last year I sat on the Species Extinction Inquiry, which was another inquiry in our Environment and Planning Committee, hearing evidence across the board which indicates that we're building too far and too often into the natural world, with Victoria having the highest rate of species extinction in Australia and Australia having the highest rate of species extinction in the world. Habitat destruction, loss of tree canopy, ecosystem decline, polluted waterways and decreasing wildlife corridors are all steering us towards an environmental collapse. And it doesn't make sense that the government continues to put economic goals, often of certain parties, before environmental ones. If we don't have a healthy place to live, if the natural world's disappearing around us, what's the point of having a... you can't have a thriving economy. Anyway, I've been told by Heritage Victoria that the application for this proposal on Main Drive was withdrawn by the applicant, but after many attempts from the developer to build on this site, one can only wonder what they will attempt next. In the election year of 2018, Premier Daniel Andrews stated, there's no need to turn a park into a housing development. And yet here we are a few years later trying to save this one and many other open spaces. And yes, I also, as Mary alluded to, I did introduce a bill into Parliament banning political donations from developers, very similar to the New South Wales legislation and the Queensland legislation. I think I was supported by four others, wasn't it, Mary, that the major parties wouldn't have a bar of it. And we all know why, because they rely on those donations. Anyway, all over Melbourne, councils are being bombarded with planning applications for new buildings from 3 storeys to 40 storeys, many of which do not comply with height restrictions, maximum height restrictions, most of which are discretionary, or with planning laws, yet they're being rapidly approved. And this is what the government calls fast tracking. And I'll say a bit more about that later, but that's what's affecting you, Nick, and affected me when I was a councillor. But it's got so much worse now. As the years go by, more and more decisions are being made in the minister's office and not by the community or having any community input these days. I get contacted daily by residents and groups who've been battling with planning issues, and particularly in Boroondara regarding heritage, overdevelopment, planning system failures. It's just been too easy for developers to do away with stunning and beautiful heritage properties, often being bulldozed while they're actively under consideration for heritage protection, because unless you've got them protected already and suddenly they're under threat, it's very hard to get protection, and it's so easy to get a demolition permit. And this destruction seems to be aided and abetted by the government, whose big build and construction agenda and whose obsession with pushing rapid population growth is fueling the relentless pressure from the property industry to build more and more. Concrete pouring is preferred over trees and nature and heritage. Daniel Andrews says construction is the backbone of the Victorian industry. And if that's true, and it seems to be true the way they go about things, it's a sad thing for our state if we have to rely on construction as our main industry. I mean, how sustainable can that be? And I've spoken to you about the issues with, I mentioned fast-tracking, the government's ability to fast-track, bypassing councils and communities for any right of appeal. So they're removing consideration at council level and taking away appeal rights here and there. The legislation amendment which they put through later last year to enable fast-tracking was supposedly just for social housing. But now it seems the government can override any local or even VCAT planning decisions that the minister, after VCAT's refused a few in my electorate, he goes and gives a revised version of it, the tick, you know, change a couple of doors and change a couple of small things and resubmit it to the minister, and he fast tracks it. And if it's based on COVID recovery or just to promote jobs, he gave a permit for one in Windsor, which had been refused on many planning grounds. And when he was asked what the grounds were, he said would have a positive impact on jobs. I spoke in Parliament to express my disgust on that. And it's just the latest attack. I'm getting feedback. On the planning system by the state government. Let me have a look. Yeah, it's just the latest attack on the state government. I don't know if someone's got their... maybe if everyone could mute, if they can, it might disappear.
Rod, could you mute?
I don't know if Rod can mute.
Can you mute, Rod?
Right, can you hear us?
No, I don't think I can. No.
You can't mute. Okay. All right. I'll carry on as best I can. But, you know, this fast tracking is just an attack on democracy, and it's an attack on councils. It's an attack on residents and local decision making. The government governs first and foremost for the construction and property sector. And how about the latest news that came out rather embarrassingly a couple of weeks ago the government promising super profits to the developer as a bargaining chip in secret negotiations with the property industry over the so-called public housing tax. So if they can negotiate with the developers for super to deliver super profits on that issue, I'm sure they can deliver super profits in other ways too and for other issues. I spoke to you last year about my happiness and my excitement in securing an inquiry into the planning and heritage legislation in the Legislative Council. And the terms of the inquiry was to cover planning and heritage protection, social housing, the increasing unaffordability of housing, population growth, protection of green wedges, amongst other things. And I'm pleased to say we've received nearly 300 submissions from all over Victoria, covering many planning failings and recommendations. It's extremely frustrating and disappointing, as we mentioned before, to let you know the government's used its numbers on the committee to suppress crucial aspects of this urgently needed inquiry and conveniently palm off embarrassing hearings till after the state election. Now, it's obviously obvious that this government doesn't want any verbal evidence given, which would be heard by the press, presented to the inquiry in an election year, because the evidence given will be a dire indictment on their leadership in these areas. Most submissions have raised serious concerns, systemic failures, and criticism of the government handling of planning processes. I think it's very sad because, as you all know, you've all written submissions for years and years, and these submissions go into the big melting pot and, you know, you very rarely know what's come out of them. And here was a chance where people could give voice to their problems. And, that was the idea. Their voices could be heard. Just Hello. Can you hear me?
There's Brian. How's it going, Brian?
Sorry,
I'm hearing you, but I'm not hearing the speakers now. I've been muted, apparently, by the...
Well, have you got a phone and Zoom going?
It was unmuted. You're unmuted now.
Am I? Okay.
You dropped out again at one stage.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Rod? So the people of Victoria have been suppressed in a way and ignored again for fear that this broken planning system will be exposed and the government's shown to put election spin over better planning for all, not just for the the benefit of developers. Simply put, the government's concerned about how matters raised and reported in this inquiry would impact on their election prospects. And meanwhile, our heritage is being destroyed at an alarming rate. Our social and public housing investments come to a screeching halt, and our green wedges and open space are being decimated for population development. This inquiry has already garnered a significant level of community interest. Everyone knows such an inquiry is urgent.
Yeah, that's good. I'm getting feedback.
You know, and the government's promised to provide an interim report and promising to hold a full inquiry in 2023. Now, anyone who knows a bit about Parliament it can give no real guarantee that this will even take place. That sort of decision will be made in the next Parliament, even if it's recommended by the committee to have a further inquiry. The decision will be made in the next Parliament, and who knows what its makeup will be after the election. So it's disappointing, you know, and I can guarantee if I'm in the next Parliament, I will fight for the re-establishment of this committee. Public submissions should be available to be read online this week, and I encourage you all to reach out to your local MPs and through planning networks, express your disappointment with the government at its decision on this one. The government's failing us in planning. We need to let them know that planning is going to be an election issue. I sincerely hope I'm re-elected so I can continue to represent the electorate, particularly on planning matters, as I seem to be the only MP raising these sorts of issues consistently in Parliament and pushing for genuine reform. I thank you and your group for all your support you've given me and for your advocacy on this goal. So thank you very much for inviting me to speak to you tonight, and I certainly welcome any questions. So thank you all.
Thank you, Clifford. That was excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Clifford. And if we have questions at the end, are you back online, Rod?
No, I'm not back online. Could you?
Oh, well, Rod's fading away into the distance. Right. Without further ado, I'll introduce Kelvin, our next speaker, to tell us where to go as you understand the political system. Kelvin, what's to be done?
Thanks for that, Brian, and thanks to the Kew Cottages Coalition and the others there for all the work that you've done over a long period of time in relation to heritage protection. That sense of commitment to the broader community and to the legacy that we leave for future generations is extremely important. Unfortunately, it's not as widely shared as we would wish, so your work is really important. At the end of last year, I became the convener of Planning Democracy. Mary is here, but I always mention her favourably in dispatches, whether she's here or not, because she did a mighty job with Planning Backlash, having set it up quite some years ago now. I'm going to embarrass her by revealing that she's turned 90, and she said to me, I'm going to write my memoirs and live to be 100 so I can go to London and get my letter from the Queen in person. I don't know that she's Republican, Rod, but anyhow, be that as it may, she has done fantastic work with Planning Backlash, and I accepted her invitation to take over as convener. I've taken the liberty of renaming it as Planning Democracy. I see ourselves as standing on really four pillars: heritage protection, protection of tree canopy cover, support for public open space, and support for residents having a say in planning issues, because, you know, it's their neighbourhood, they have to live there. And that first pillar, heritage protection, regrettably, as others have indicated, has been undervalued for quite some years now. I think it, when I was a political youngster with the likes of Evan Walker and others, it used to be valued, Barry Jones, it used to be valued more highly. Clifford has referred to the unhappy fate of the Legislative Council's committee inquiry into planning and heritage protection issues. I did a submission on behalf of Planning Democracy, which amongst other things referred to banning campaign donations from property developers. I know that's an issue that's dear to the heart of people here, and as you say, it's been done in Queensland and New South Wales. It should be able to be done here, and we need to keep banging on. You know, we had the debacle of the Casey Council revealed by IBAC just in the last couple of years. We should have the ban on campaign donations from property developers here. So I did a submission on behalf of Planning Democracy, but the submission that's really taken my fancy is the one by the Royal Historical Society of Victoria, and I'll take the liberty of giving you a couple of sentences from it, because it was a bit of a revelation for me. They said that about the demolition of the Corkman, the Carlton Inn, that the background to this was that the planning minister had approved a design and development overlay which prescribed a 13-storey building for the site, and so that provided a significant incentive for demolition, notwithstanding the fact that there was a heritage overlay already in place. And those design and development overlays encourage developers, they make a mockery of the heritage overlay, and they turn heritage into simply one of many values to be considered. And the Royal Historical Society says, and I certainly agree, that that is simply not good enough. A couple of the other points that they made was that they strongly support the incorporation of mandatory height limits in place of preferred limits in planning amendments, that they think rather than having both significant and contributory as criteria for heritage protection, they think that contributory is taken too often to mean less valuable. So they say that we should have individual significance and precinct significance. So that's another thing that makes sense to me. And another one that they mentioned, and it's sort of particularly relevant because we've got a federal election coming, and a lot of the issues that we talk about here are more relevant to the state election and the state sphere. But they say that the federal government has this visa category of significant investors. So you can put in $2.5 million into the investor stream or $5 million to qualify for the significant investor stream. And they count the money that you spend on a new principal residence, provided you construct a new building. And that puts in place an incentive for people to demolish existing houses. And the Royal Historical Society makes the point that there's no reason to include housing as an investment in Australia. And they think the Commonwealth should remove housing from that visa qualification. And, you know, I personally don't think there should be a significant investor visa. I don't see how it's part of our humanitarian global obligations to try and encourage rich people to come and live here. So that's a strong submission that they put forward. Cliff has mentioned the unhappy fate of the inquiry with the public hearings being put on hold, but one thing is that the submissions are going to be made public, and I think it's worthwhile for us to sit down and look at these submissions and get the best points out of them and then use them to campaign between now and the end of the year when we have the state election to try and get better in terms of heritage protection, get better outcomes. One thing I want to do on the planning democracy front is to hold a heritage protection forum. I'm negotiating the detail of that with the library's people at Borondara, so I can't give you the absolute chapter and verse on this, but the date I'm looking at is Saturday the 9th of April in the morning at the Hawthorne Library. And when I get that sorted, Brian, I'll send everybody out an email to that effect and let people know that it's happening. And we'll get a couple of expert speakers along, but also give opportunities for the resident action groups to talk about what they think's important on the heritage protection front and seek to elevate it and lift it as an issue during the remainder of this year. I might also mention my view that heritage is not just about built heritage, it's also about natural heritage and Indigenous heritage and the like. And one of the distressing things is that we're not only losing valuable buildings, but we're also losing valuable trees at a time when tree canopy cover is extremely important in trying to keep Melbourne cool. You know, the committee for Melbourne and those sort of people, the Lord Mayor and the like, are saying, oh, we need to pass Sydney by way of population. Well, I think it was a year ago, Penrith had a day where their temperature was 48.9 degrees. You know, you do not want to heat up the way that Sydney and other places that are losing their tree canopy cover are heating up. And the final one I'll mention is the suburban rail loop. Back at the time of the last election, and I was still handing out how to vote cards for the Labor Party back then, but they announced the suburban rail loop, and I thought that was a really good forward-looking idea. But I noticed yesterday, I think it was, the publication Macro Business referred to the suburban rail loop as a boondoggle. Now, when I was in the caucus, Kim Beazley liked to use very big words, and one of the words he introduced us to was boondoggle, which means an infrastructure project which is a waste of time, waste of money. And the suburban rail loop is now looking like $120 billion. It's more planning and property developer project than it is a transport project. And it's predicated on the basis of Melbourne having a population of 9 million, like the city of London. And you think, well, if we move to 9 million, there's nothing that is going to have as big an impact on our living standards and the way we do everything in Melbourne as that kind of outcome. And yet no political party or none of the major parties stands up and goes to the election promising that we're going to give you the population of London so that we can have a bit of a debate about it. So it really is regrettable and dishonest. And things like the suburban rail loop, it's good to have. I've noticed some of the resident action groups calling it out and understanding what its planning and other implications will be. So that's enough from me, Brian, but well done to you and your group, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you very much, Kelvin. We've got some technical problems still going in the background, but I'm sure we'll overcome those and by the time we have another AGM. Rod, are you with us still?
I am, Brian.
Oh, I can hear you, but I'm not sure if the others can. I've got this ask unmute button. I've put that on your screen. Does that help you?
I'll unmute that.
Oh, there we go.
Hang on. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now, Yank. You're back online.
On the Zoom?
On the Zoom. You're with
okay.
us.
Okay. Kelvin, if you can hear me, thank you very, very much. And thank you for the wonderful organisation that you've helped create. And I was just reminded, and I hope you remember, that many years ago I got involved in a fundraiser for you out in Pasco Vale, and it was a debate which you spoke at. And it was your presentation was extraordinarily funny, and it took me 10 years as a comedian to get over the humiliation of having a politician be funnier than a comedian. Anyway, I'm better now, Kelvin, and I'm glad you continue on to do the fantastic work that you've always done. Now, we come to that time of the... it's working again. We come to that time of the evening where we can open the thing to questions. So, again, on my screen, I'm only seeing about five people. It's difficult, and I think it's up to it'll be up to Brian. Oh, we're getting to see more people now. As I said to you earlier, down the bottom of your screen, you'll see a thing that says, oh, where'd it go? Oh, now it's gone. That's no good. Oh, reactions. There it is, reactions down the towards the bottom right hand end of your screen. If you'd like to ask a question, you can just click on that. I'll do it now for me, and you'll say, look at that. There's a little thumbs up, and now I'm crying with laughter. Okay, all right, I'll get rid of that. We'll just take that, or I don't know how you get rid of that. But Leon, I see Leon, you have a question, so you're very welcome to unmute, Leon, and away you go with your question. Thank you.
Yes, this is for Nick Stavrou. Nick, I'm wondering if it's worth the council, Boroondara Council, creating a retrospective list of homes that have been bulldozed in Boroondara. Say the list has when the home was built, when it was when the planning, and what kind of new buildings going on it, to give residents an idea what kind of heritage has been lost over time. So that's to Nick. And to Kelvin in the chat about Jeff Sparrow's book, he says that growing population is not the issue, but capitalist consumption more so that damages our environment.
Leon, I would say is I think that's a novel idea about the retrospective list. Hello, can you hear me?
No, I'm sorry, I'm
okay.
I can hear you.
Look, what I'll say, Leon, is let me take that on notice and discuss it with the officers and see what kind of work and particularly what we're hoping to achieve with this and what already exists, because I think there would be quite a lot of information already within council. And I'm happy to come back through you via Brian.
And Kelvin, my chat question.
Yes, sure. Consumption is a problem, but trying to wish away population growth as a problem is very misguided. The global population increase is 80 million a year, and I find it very hard to imagine how we are going to reduce our global environmental footprint and our carbon emissions and so on that basis. And another observation I'd make is that a lot of the world's people are very poor, and you can't say to them, you need to reduce your consumption. They aspire to Western living standards, and I personally don't begrudge them that. So it is a question of both consumption and population. And again, taken in the Melbourne context, we're growing by over 100,000 people a year at the moment. The environmental impact of that is very great. And one of the things that's happening is that we're losing the detached houses with the front yards and backyards. And I've seen some really great research talking about the value of older homes with front yards and backyards in protecting the environment and having less carbon emissions than the high rise and multi units that are replacing them. So I think, you know, there's certainly a consumption issue, no question, but there is also a population one.
Thanks, Calvin. Other questions? Rod, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, Brian. I don't know whether...
Hang on, I'll just unmute. Hopefully people can hear me now. So it seems, it seems that we have no further questions. Would that be right? Nothing there? Hang on, I'm going to put my phone to the ear. So no further questions?
No further questions. Mary, you have a question?
No question.
No, I saw a movement there. Well, thank you, everyone. And Rod, we might come to the foreshadowed motions then, if that's...
Yes, we'll do our best, Brian. And again, look, thank you to our speakers, and it's a tribute to them that they covered everything and nobody has a question. Okay, so we come to our... Here we go. We're zipping through...
Oh, yeah.
Zipping through our donations. Don't forget the donations.
That's the foreshadow. And then we've got a couple of
resolutions
here. This is number one. Can everyone see number one? I'll read it. This is proposed resolution. The public meeting calls on all parties contesting the 2022 Victorian state election to commit to implement a ban on developer donations. And that's already happened in New South Wales and Queensland. And establish, secondly, a parliamentary inquiry to consider. And I've got a frog in my throat. To consider a report by December 2023 next year on the adequacy of the Heritage Act 2017 and the State Heritage Framework in relation to heritage protection in Victoria. So that's the first one. We could put them together if you like, Rod. Would that be appropriate?
Well, look, I think we'll vote on them one at a time, Brian, because I know what's going to happen. It's going to be unanimous. So those in favour of the first resolution, if you could wave or in some way pat yourself on the head, or if you can hear me, that is, if those in support of that resolution?
Yes.
That's it. Yes, I can see hands up. Well, there's some people without video. They might like to click on their reaction buttons with a hand up there. Lynn is in. I think I'm going to be presumptuous and assume that it's carried. So there you are, Brian. What's that, Brian?
Yeah, that's right. So we now go to the next one.
We do.
Thank you. If I can find it, we get back to... Proposed resolution number two,
is this public meeting calls on the state government to explain without further delay what is the current contract status, the Kew Cottages Walker development. Secondly, what has been the financial return to the state? That's a shorter one. That's a bit...
Did I just say on that one, Brian, if you could email that to my office, I'm certainly happy to ask that question on notice to Parliament and see what the government has to say on that. They'll try and duck it and weave as usual, but we will try for an answer from them on that. And, of course, I'm happy to commit to those other resolutions. If I'm back in Parliament, I'll certainly be pushing that on behalf of our party.
That's much appreciated. Thank you, Calvin.
Yep. Good on you. Hang on. Now my battery's running low. Oh, my God. Hang on. Carry on, everybody. Those in favour of that resolution, please raise your hands. I see the...
Can we add to it that we're giving it to Brian?
Crazy round here. Sorry, I don't... Bloody hell.
Well, we got
lots of hands up. Everybody, just Rod's in charge.
Waiting for the MC.
I should be, I think we've worked out the... this is why I should be Premier. I'm so incompetent that nothing would get done. Certainly nothing would be pulled down and nothing built. So vote for me for Premier. Okay, so could we have a show of hands from... those who are in favour of that resolution. And, yeah, look at the little hands going up. And there's a, yes, there's a, Anthony's done the click on the thumb thing. All right, we're going to assume, Lynn, thank you very much. We will again assume that that has passed unanimously. Another triumph for Brian's resolution writing capabilities. Never has he had one voted down. So good on you, Brian. So we'll hand back to you, Brian. Hang on, before we do, I've done that public meeting resolutions. We've done that. We don't really need to go back to Brian, but we should go back to Brian at least to commend him and his committee. It's an extraordinary organisation. Their capacity to research and pinpoint the hypocrisies and the fibs and the lies and all the things that have gone on around this extraordinary site, which has in the most part been destroyed. It's very like the Royal Park hospital site that was destroyed for the Commonwealth Games. So these things go on and on and on, and it gets you, you really get, anyway. So, look, thank you all, we will, unless there's anything else you'd like to say, congratulate Brian and the committee. Thank you all for attending, particularly our speakers, and we'll do this again in 12 months' time. I think there's a new variant of COVID, which is going to be the highest numbered variant in a week or two. So who knows where we'll be this time next year, but hopefully we can do that little supper that we used to have in real time next year. So thank you very much. Thank you, Brian, and you can all go home now, or you are home. The good thing about this is you don't get parking tickets. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
We'll have to be better.
Mary, why do you have the Greek flag? Can I ask Mary why she has the Greek flag behind her?